Non-stop sectarian violence has driven many Iraqis out of their homes. But while the international media is focusing on how the bloodshed is affecting Sunnis and Shiites, no one seems to be talking about the tiny Christian community, one of the oldest in the Middle East. And without their own militias like the other groups, Iraqi Christians are the most defenseless victims in the carnage. They've been targeted with a cruel string of kidnappings and killings of religious and attacks on churches. Christians are being forced to pay so-called protection money to armed groups of all sorts, with little guarantee that they'll really be protected. More and more over the last few months, most Iraqi Christians are refusing to talk to the media, even to us here at Vatican Radio. They're simply too afraid. One top Iraqi prelate I talked with here in Rome just last week confided to me that they are listening to everything we Christians say to the press. Retaliation is just a bomb blast or kidnapping away. Well, Christians have been held hostage in exchange for exorbitant sums. Families have been forced to sell everything they have in the hope they'll get their loved ones back. Others have been told in no uncertain terms to convert to Islam or to leave the country where they and their ancestors had lived for nearly 2,000 years. And many are leaving the violence and everything they own behind for an unknown future in an unknown country. Each month, Christians are among the 40 to 50,000 Iraqis who flee their homes. Though they account for just 3% of Iraq's entire population, Christians make up a full one-third of all Iraqi refugees. The figures are staggering. 2 million Iraqis are now displaced within their own country. Most have gone north to safer Kurdish areas. Another 2 million are believed to have fled to nearby nations. Syria alone says 1.4 million Iraqis have taken refuge in its territory over the last 3 years. Author and photographer Kai Weidenhofer has lived in the Middle East for decades. He recently returned to Europe from Damascus, where he met many of the Christian Iraqi refugees living in squalid camps and makeshift shelters. He told some of their stories to Paul Anthem.
Kai showed me the copy of a letter sent to one Christian family. It reads, "This is the last and final warning to you and all infidels and traitors like you. You have to leave Iraq and emigrate to people similar to you or renounce your religion. If you don't do this and disobey, your blood will be spilled. This fate will meet you after 72 hours.
It's a family that lived in an area of Baghdad, and yeah, they got a threat letter from a Shiite militia that they have to leave the area in 72 hours, otherwise they basically would get killed. I read a little bit of this letter. You have to leave Iraq and emigrate to people similar to you and the other Christian monkeys and pigs, or renounce your religion. It's signed by the Sharia court of the secret Islamic army. And these things are really serious, you know, it's not something you can joke around. They really go after the people."
Kai reveals the story of another Iraqi woman and the events that saw her managing to sell her house, yet fleeing Baghdad penniless.
And I talked to one Christian family, actually to a woman. Her husband disappeared, is not known where he is now, and she managed to sell her house for about $42,000 in Baghdad. And the next day, a son of her got abducted, and the abductors basically got all this money from the house, the $42,000, and then the woman just took her family and drove off to Damascus as fast as she could, you know.
So she had nothing, basically?
No, she has nothing. No, she had nothing, you know.
So what was she doing? Where was she living? How was she managing to survive?
Well, she gets some support from a Christian church. That's it in the moment, you know. I mean, the UNHCR will hopefully get more active. Syria has only 22 million inhabitants, and they're basically a third world country, you know. I mean, they are not economically very powerful, so they have to deal with this influx of refugees. And of these refugees, about 30% is Shiite, 30% is Sunni, and about something like 35% are Christians. And the point is that The Christians actually build only 35% of the refugee community. They are only 3% of the population in Iraq. But they don't live, let's say, into neighborhoods where they really can protect themselves. So they crisscross the country and they cannot build up militias or really places where they can protect themselves. So it's very easy for Sunni or Shiite people to intimidate them out of their places. So they basically take what they have in their hands and then they just leave, you know.
While stories such as these arouse equal amounts of pity and disgust, others seem almost too disturbing to be true. Take the story of one young Iraqi man whose abductors handed him a stamped receipt after he paid his own ransom.
It's also a big mafia, you know. And once you have this receipt, basically, and the people grab you next time, they see, oh, you know, money is taken already, the guy is worthless, you know. Because, you know, they can always, I mean, people try to get, once somebody is abducted, they try to get some money from neighbors, from friends or whatever, you know. But you cannot do this two or three times because an amount of, let's say, mostly between 10 and 30,000 US dollars is a huge amount of money for these people, you know. So you can do it once, but the second time the people simply don't have the money.
Kai said abductions are big business now, and receipts are actually in the victim's own interest, as they convey to potential future abductors that there is no money to be taken from their would-be victims. How did you feel about the psychological, the mental state of these people? Were you amazed because they were so articulate, because they were still so devout in their faith, or were they in a complete, I mean, were they just completely destroyed by what had happened? How did you actually find them psychologically?
Well, psychologically, they are destroyed, you know. I mean, this is not, you know, the point is also, I think the Iraqi Christians is maybe the oldest or one of the oldest Christian communities in the world, you know. I mean, they even speak Aramaic. And I was at the Christmas service, it was so funny to see, you know, that the liturgy is still in Aramaic because it's a Chaldean church. And you could easily figure out, because all the people who came from Iraq, they could still speak Aramaic. But they actually followed the liturgy, while the Syrians couldn't, you know.
This was in Damascus?
Yeah, that was in Damascus, in the church, yeah. Oh, well, you know, I mean, they cannot stay, you know, so it's not about being devoted to your faith or not. I mean, there's no choice, you know. They have to go.
How do you feel about the fact that people need to remember this kind of thing? Because every day the headlines are about people being killed in Baghdad and injured in Baghdad, and that is obviously tragic, but there's a whole forgotten side to this war, isn't there, in terms of, you know, a third of Christians, and not just Christians, but the amount of people being forced from their homes and an uncertain future and a life of poverty and a life even worse. How do you assess the sort of importance of actually keeping this in the public eye?
Yeah, it's very important. I mean, it's just like about 10% of the Iraqi population are refugees now, you know, which is a lot, you know. It's about, altogether, about 2.5-3 million people who are just, I mean, either internally displaced, so they went to the Kurdish areas because they are more safe, or they went to Jordan, or they went to Syria, or are on the way to Iraq.
What stuck most in your mind, Kai, from your visit when you got back? What stayed with you the most?
It's just this injustice, you know, and it's also the Bush government talks about Christian values, you know, and what they actually manage is to wipe out, I mean, to uproot one of the oldest Christian communities in the Middle East, you know, and they cannot go back. Once these people are out, I think it will be very, very hard that they can go back.
Author and photographer Kai Wiedenhofer. Well, when U.S. President George Bush was here for his first visit with Pope Benedict XVI, the Holy Father asked him to see that Iraq's Christians would be protected, whether by U.S. troops in Iraq or by Iraq's beleaguered government. What government? Quipped the unnamed Iraqi prelate I spoke to here in Rome. No one, he said, is protecting us, and no one is listening.